Shalom. Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. We welcome all of you who have gathered in person and online. We apologize for the delay. That was me. But hopefully you're on now, or we're on this fourth Sunday of Easter here at Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, joined by our worship team and production engineer. Our special musicians today are Sally Potter, Barb Fuller, Marcia Hacker, and Deanne McCormick. Today's liturgist is Lorraine Finneson. So for all of you, whoever you are and wherever you are along this journey of life, we welcome and affirm all of you. And by the way, happy Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day, right? Okay. You'll be hearing just a little bit of a connection to Mother's Day and a little bit. I shouldn't give it away. Well, our theme today is all about shepherds and sheep. And the rhetorical question is asked, and I got a lot of comments on that this week. Are sheep stupid? That question hopefully will come into a little clearer focus a little bit later. Well, yesterday, our church hosted the annual meeting of the Central Association of the Michigan Conference of Congregational Christian Churches. So, I would like to thank several people, including Deanne McCormick, Gwen Tisdale, Mariana Foster, Ruth Posh, Kim Finneson, Barb Fuller, Sally Potter, and Marcia Hacker, and anyone else I might have missed for their volunteer efforts for a day hosting that would be considered a rousing success. We put on a good show, if you want to call it that. And Ruth, are you prepared to give a report from the proceedings yesterday? Ruth is our lay leader and also was delegate to the proceedings yesterday, so you're welcome to come right up here to the pulpit, Ruth.
Lectern. Good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day, even if you're not a mother. As Pastor already stated, yesterday was the annual meeting for the Central Michigan Association of Congregational Christian Churches and Ministers. And they hadn't met for 2 years in person. It was virtual. And so they were really happy to be together. One person you did miss in your lineup was yourself.
Oh.
You did the welcoming, and everybody did feel indeed welcome. So in the meeting, the usual business was conducted with the pastors present that were here. They were agreeing to share their innovations of ministry and disappointments with each other quarterly. Now, that's something new for them. They felt that they could help each other with ideas, which they hadn't been sharing, as a result of them things they had learned through the pandemic. Also, the bylaw changes were approved. What I took away from that meeting was that each pastor spoke of ways their congregations had created opportunities to deal with and even expand their ministries in spite of the pandemic. Some of the ideas were virtual services, parking lot services with people sitting in their cars with their heater on during the wintertime while the pastor stood outside and performed the service. One congregation was providing free drive-by meals in the neighborhood. And what was unique about that was that the pastor greeted each car and asked the occupants of that car how he could pray for them. and that touched so many of the people that weren't members of the congregation because they stated they'd never been prayed for, or if they had been, it had been a long time. And so what was happening as a result, these people were coming back for the free meal, but they also stated they were coming back for the prayer. Also, as you already know, what one of the things our church did was have a neighborhood ice cream social. And we were honored to have people from the neighborhood that don't attend here come and get a little bit acquainted. And you never know what might grow out of that. And another one of the churches in their neighborhood had offered their church building as a vaccination site. Everybody, all the pastors in attendance agreed that the pandemic had caused havoc, but it was also an opportunity to rethink and find new ways to worship and minister to people. Many of the pastors stated that people physically in worship had diminished during the pandemic. In fact, some, like our church, wasn't even open. But that most were now beginning to see members return to worship, and especially if they continued to have a virtual service that sometimes more than twice as many were viewing the virtual service. So following the business meeting, everybody in attendance was invited to share luncheon with us, and Deanne did a great job planning the menu, and everybody really enjoyed it. So I just want to thank you all for electing me as a delegate to go to the central meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Next Sunday, our Christian education resumes at noon with Dr. Paul, and as always, there are musical and thematic surprises waiting for you on Sunday. So thank you for your presence today. It's good to see all of you. And one last announcement this week, in the absence of Deanne McCormick, she's going to Europe without me. And we'll do okay in church without her, but we'll look forward to her return. As I will, yeah, Barb Fuller will be filling in on the piano. We have a number of people that can play the piano. So, Barb, you're on. So there's an app on the phone called WhatsApp. Anybody ever use that? You can call and talk internationally without paying extra fees for that. So that's what we're going to do, I think. It might be, when she's going to bed, it'll be 3 a.m, but of course I'll just jump out of bed and answer the phone, right? It is time now to worship God.
There were wind chimes in the window, bells inside the clock, an organ in the corner, tunes on the music box. We sang while we were cooking or working in the yard. We sang although our lives were really hard. There was now always loved to play, and I guess I will until my dying day.
There was music
in my mother's house. There was music all around.
There was music
in my mother's house, and my heart still feels full with the
morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday of Easter, and happy Mother's Day. Our theme for the day is all about sheep, a frequent image in both testaments of Scripture, as you will see today. One aspect of this is to think about the intelligence of sheep as compared to other animals. Our examination of the characteristics of sheep will help shape and reshape our perspective on our human need for guidance, protection, and camaraderie. Our pastor shepherd will help us answer the rhetorical yet very important question about the intelligence of sheep. May this service of worship serve as continued inspiration and guidance for us, the beloved flock of Mayflower. Thanks be to God.
Down to love.
Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious Lord, we gather as sheep in the pasture of God, seeking refuge from stress, anxiety, and fear, which can sometimes overwhelm us. We thank you for the roles good mothers have played in shepherding us through the dangers of our lives. We thank you for the emotional and spiritual safety of the beloved community called Mayflower as we shepherd each other through the challenges of life. As we continue in worship, help us to find rest for our souls, direction for our lives, and hope for our future as we listen to music, hear the scriptures, bow in prayer, and contemplate the meaning and relevance of sacred writ. This we humbly pray and ask in the name and spirit of the shepherd of our souls, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Mayflower, for the generous and heartfelt offering which was sent to our National Association headquarters for Ukrainian relief efforts that goes directly to those suffering as refugees. and our total was $3,500. Thank you for responding also to the continued faithful giving to God through the auspices of our local church. Let us now worship God through the giving of our time, our talents, and our resources. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we thank you for a long-awaited, beautiful spring weekend. Thank you for those buds that are showing up on the trees, the beautiful tulip look-likes right in our parking lot, and all the reminders of resurrection, even in nature. But Lord, in our continued celebration of Easter, we often resist the help and support of others because of our fierce sense of independence. So help us never to resist the tender and gentle nudges of God, along with others who are shepherding us toward peace and safety, offering us unconditional love, motivating us towards service to others, and calling us to tear down walls of injustice, hatred, oppression, racism, and misogyny on this Mother's Day. We pray today for the ever-increasing flood of refugees in Ukraine and around the world, and for the economic oppression which exists so very close to home, for these and many other requests reaching around the world, we pray. We also remember those within our circle of love and care, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be ever so faithful, certainly in our prayers, but as we care and love. Remember, O Lord, Gail Sawyer, Connie Chandler, Mike Miller, Marge Cook, Glenda Morgan, Mindy and Jake Warnoff, Gordon Wilson, Jerry Moore, Jim Galbraith, Marion Potts, Judy Braska, Roger Bell, Linda Fire, Carl Watkins, Sheila Reinbrandt, Debbie Conlon, and many others, some whom we mention right now. Now, Lord, thank you that as we gather, we can pray together, and we know that there is strength in numbers. So we offer now our prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, Mayflower family. I just want to let you know that I will miss you all. I will be with my sisters in Vienna, Austria for 2.5 weeks, and I will be depending on your prayers to get me home safely and that all will go well and we will be healthy, and I will be praying for you and missing you while I'm gone. Today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm is one of the most well-known and most memorized chapters in the Bible. In the Gospels, especially in John, Jesus refers to us as his sheep. Have you ever thought about why sheep need a shepherd, unlike other animals? Hear now these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And today's gospel reading is from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Hear now these words. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, as I think about the shepherd, Jesus, I ask you to help me to be more faithful as a shepherd of this flock. Amen. There are several observations I would like to make concerning the 23rd Psalm. It is undoubtedly, as has already been mentioned, the best known chapter in the Bible. If you have a history of Sunday school attendance, and many of you do, it might have been the chapter that was committed to memory. And in the older generation, many of us can never rid ourselves of the unparalleled beauty of the language of the King James. Some of you probably have memorized in the King James. One of the reasons that we use the New Revised Standard Version is because it really follows, for the most part, the beauty and pentameter of the, again, unparalleled King James Version. So that memory is with us today as we think about the 23rd Psalm. I don't think there is any passage of Scripture that has inspired more hymns to be composed around it. We sang one this morning. Number 55 in our hymnal, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Perhaps you have another favorite hymn around those same poetic words set to music. And when I was a youth growing up in church, we sang a chorus written by John W. Peterson. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Remember that one, Deanne? You don't have it. Okay. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Some of you know that one, right? That was kind of a 70s song. I was a 70s kind of a guy. To this day, satellite radio, I've tuned in on 70s. I like it. Ironically, even though in the NRSV, the psalm is translated correctly into the present tense, except for the last verse, it is most often read at funerals. The image presented as one walking through the valley of the shadow of death is very comforting during a time of loss. And just for something to think about, do you want the 23rd Psalm read at your funeral? And I see some heads going up and down. I think that I probably do too. For the preacher, there are reams of commentary on this chapter, with expositions on every verse, so much that it is hard to choose which one of the images presented or theological concept about which to ruminate almost becomes a reason to avoid it because of its familiarity. I can't remember ever preaching a sermon on the 23rd Psalm, although I guess I would have to say I'm sure I have at least a time or two. But you know what they say, familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. Now, again, a preacher shouldn't have any contempt for the most beautiful chapter in the Bible, but you get me here, I think. And as Deanne read from the 10th chapter of John, this is where Jesus presents himself as the Good Shepherd and speaks rather poetically to his disciples concerning the connection presented in the 23rd Psalm where God is the shepherd. The connection is made in that last verse of the passage read, I and the Father are one. So Jesus puts those two things together, God as the shepherd and he himself as the shepherd. Then one of the more sobering aspects for me is that a pastor is considered a shepherd. The role of a pastor shepherd is reflected in both of these images of Scripture. And that makes a pastor's role fiduciary as one representing God. That's kind of a sobering reminder for any of us who are pastors. While this is daunting, I don't think the meaning of it ever struck me more pointedly than after a 20-year hiatus from pastoral ministry. Two things happened at Mayflower when I was first hired that I will never forget. The question was asked, how do you want to be addressed? Well, as many of you know, the previous pastor held a doctorate and was always referred to as Dr. Rick. To be honest, because of that, since I did not have a doctoral degree, and I do not, I wondered if I had the credentials to become the Mayflower pastor. But you hired me, and I said to whoever asked me, and I believe it was Lorraine, where'd Lorraine go? Anyway, I hope she's listening or hears it. How do you want to be addressed? Well, I told her my name is Mark, and I'm comfortable with that. So if anybody of you has any question about that, if I'm referred to by my name, that's never a problem. She said, well, people are naturally going to want to address you as reverend or pastor or with some title. So I settled on Pastor Mark, as I am often referred to by many of you. And I do remember something that brings both joy and pain. And this happened when I was a younger pastor in my late 20s, and my boy had been born. He was probably 3 years old. My second son hadn't come along yet, and so, as was the case in the church where I was pastoring, people would go out and they'd shake hands with me and have something to say. And someone observed that my little three-year-old boy, Bryce, came up to me and was patting me on the knee and said, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 Daddy," and I didn't pay any attention to him. And someone leaned down and whispered to him, "Call him Pastor Mark." And he looked and he said, "Pastor Mark," and I instantly... It reminds me, even in my advancing years, that sometimes the appointments I make with my family are just as, and perhaps more so. And yet I will tell you that every time I hear the word Pastor Mark, I am reminded of the significance of what it means for both pastor and those who are being shepherded. So the first time I walked into my office and I saw the words imprinted on the door, "Pastor Mark McCormick," it was a sobering experience, as I have thought many times of its implications. It is a sacred role, sometimes a rather prestigious role once in a while, but mostly an intimate role. And while I never feel I adequately live up to it, as I wish I could know each of you better, talk to you more often, and be there for you even more, I do consider it one of the highest privileges of my life, and I doubt if there are very many days that go by that my wife and I don't talk about this. That said, as I thought about this sermon today, I had to read the passage again, both passages, and think about questions I have, as I usually do. I began by asking the questions as if I would have never read this before. So as I thought about my fiduciary role as shepherd, the first question I had to ask was about sheep themselves in terms of what I have known about sheep or think about sheep. And the question is asked, why do sheep need a shepherd? And then I asked that rhetorical question, are they stupid? Here's what I found. The first thing I read about sheep was that of a commentary by none other than the great reformer Martin Luther in his lengthy commentary on the 23rd Psalm. He said, and I quote, "A sheep must live entirely by its shepherd's help, protection, and care. As soon as it loses him, it is surrounded by all kinds of dangers and must perish, for it is quite unable to help itself. The reason? It is a poor, weak, simple little beast that can neither feed nor rule itself, nor find the right way, nor protect itself against any kind of danger or misfortune. Moreover, it is by nature timid, shy, and likely to go astray. When it does go a bit astray and leaves its shepherd, it is unable to find its way back to him. Indeed, it merely runs farther away from him. Though it may find other shepherds and sheep, that does not help it, for it does not know the voices of strange shepherds. Therefore, it flees them and strays about until the wolf seizes it or perishes in some other way." End of quote. Well, far be it for me to disagree with one of the great reformers and theologians of all time, but I adamantly disagree with Martin Luther. Good. And I'll tell you why. I had to find a counter-narrative, and I did. In an article posted on May 12th, 2019 in Psychology Today by Mark Bikoff, PhD, an expert in animal emotions, he entitled the article, "Why Sheep Matter, They're Intelligent, Emotional, and Unique." It is an interview with two researchers into the behavior and traits of sheep. And I have to admit, this just kind of raises just certain things in my body that makes me, you know, as I read this, it's like I connected with this. Let me share it with you. In his article and interview with the researchers, he wants to separate fact from fiction and to understand who sheep are, not what we want them to be. He says, in the process, we found out that our characterizations of them as dull-minded and lacking uniqueness and independence in their personality and desires is completely wrong. In fact, nothing could be farther from the truth. Sheep do care. about their own lives and how they are treated and respond to similar situations as do humans. Nothing we've learned about sheep gives us a free pass to mistreat them based on myths about their mindlessness. They are intelligent, complex, and feeling individuals. A new and very important essay by these two researchers, Drs. Lori Marafino and Deborah Merskin, the abstract reads, "Domestic sheep are among the earliest animals domesticated for human use. They are consumed worldwide as mutton, hogget, and lamb, kept as wool and milk producers, and used extensively in scientific research. The popular stereotype is that sheep are docile, passive, unintelligent, and timid, but a review of the research on their behavior, affect, cognition, and personality reveals that they are complex, individualistic, and social." In an interview with the researchers in the article in Psychology Today, to which I refer, the desire is to understand sheep, like all farmed animals, are deliberately misrepresented in ways that make it easier for our species to prey on them. One of the researchers conveyed understanding that to use language, it would be preferable to use language as who and not what, that we often do with our dogs and cats, but not farm animals, unless, of course, you're a farmer. And those beings which have minds, psychology, feelings, and even life goals. Again, we describe our pets in manners that we're uncomfortable with farm animals. I found this fascinating. We read all kinds of things about the intelligence of primates, but it makes us uncomfortable to describe farm animals this way when eating a lamb or a chicken or wearing the skin of a cow. Now I have to give a full confession here. I'm not a vegetarian, but I find this interesting. This research indicates that sheep have extremely sophisticated face recognition abilities on a par with humans. They can interpret emotions on the faces of other sheep and can remember sheep faces for years. They can also discriminate human faces even when those faces are shown to them in different orientations. Sheep are emotional animals and, like us, can feel optimistic or pessimistic based on their prior experiences. Just like human sheep who have had bad experiences in the past tend not to do as well in cognitive tasks as those who had good experiences. The trait that caught my attention is when they behave collectively, as a group, as when moving in a herd, it is a survival skill designed to protect the group versus the popular beliefs about them lacking common sense as if they would all go over a cliff. It is kind of funny, isn't it? If you take the time to assess who's who in the herd, you'll find that its structure is determined by individual sheep and their relationships with other sheep. The obvious answer then to my question is no. Sheep are anything but stupid. Why then do they need a shepherd? One of my answers lies in the experiences I had as a tour guide. And the same narrative holds true in my role as a pastor shepherd. In the many enjoyable years I spent as a tour guide at Mount Rainier National Park in Seattle, I took some of the most intelligent people from around the world on tours to some of my favorite places. Teachers, business owners, ranchers, farmers, doctors, lawyers, university educators, and many others sought the services of someone who could guide them to experience scenic and interesting places. People wanted to know the history, geology, demographics, and uniqueness of the beautiful Pacific Northwest. And I, through reading, research, and my own experiences, was happy to oblige. And it paid surprisingly well, especially when thoughtful and generous people offered me tips for my services. And by the way, 40% of my income for about 12 years was on tips. That's why when I go into a restaurant and I'm well served, I feel a little bit of a heartthrob. And it translates into what I leave. But the experience was mutual for me. I learned and experienced so much from those times as I spent a day with such a diverse and intelligent group of people, every group different from the day before. Much of the same applies to my role as Pastor Shepherd. I'm not here to authoritatively tell you what to do. I do not expect all of you to look at life in the same way or have had the same experiences that I have, see the world like I do, or even understand the scriptures in the same way. While I do guide, teach, and hopefully stimulate and inspire, I've learned so much from you. Sometimes as the result of the questions I ask, like the questions I asked of two wonderful women here today who are not biological mothers, how they feel about Mother's Day remembrances. I have developed an ever-increasing understanding of what it means to be a part of a beloved community when we are sheep and shepherd together. The expertise you have in your experiences and in your chosen fields have been and continue to be an inspiration to me. I have a strong suspicion that it was the same way between Jesus and his disciples. I wish there was something in Scripture that I believe was there of how much Jesus learned from those 12 disciples. It works both ways. I trust that you find it that way in your relationship with Pastor and each other. Finally, I never want to forget that as your Pastor Shepherd, especially as I contemplate the meaning of the 23rd Psalm, I want to help guide us all in each of our understanding concerning the nature of God, particularly as the shepherd of our souls, the way our lives play out with its joys and sorrows. I would always want to point myself and all of us to the shepherd God who leads us toward God's own self, following us in our wanderings, so that we never get beyond the love that will not let us go. I must emphasize the church's conviction that the shepherd of Psalm 23 has become for us flesh in Christ, the good shepherd who gave it all for us and laid down his life for the sheep as we are to lay down our lives for others. Even though some of those sheep Jesus mentioned very specifically were not of his fold. Whatever that means, but I can tell you it means inclusion. Our confession is good news of great joy for all the people as the church confesses and sings the whole reality set forth in Psalm 23. Thanks be to God.
Jesus, hear thy children.
Even a good shepherd would be nothing without a flock. Folks, thanks for being such a good flock. Thanks for reversing the order and being a shepherd to the shepherd. Go in peace.
Especially.